today I want to continue to preach in your hearing, being thankful for the benefits, the pleasures and blessings of God. Part 5. Praying through the Bible, number 387. For Christians since the beginning of the church have struggled with this issue. Forbidding people to do certain things and to enjoy certain things when God is about your enjoying the life He gives you. In fact, your Christian life ought to be lived more abundantly. That does not mean you're being rich, but that does mean being rich in faith, rich in God, rich in peace, rich in joy, rich in contentment. You're very rich when you got that going on. For there are people who are killing themselves with billions of dollars in the bank, jumping off of buildings, who have access to money, but they're poor in peace. They're poor in God. They're poor in knowing where they're going when they die. They're poor in joy. They're poor in contentment. Do you know why many people who are successful in life, many people who are rich in life, financially speaking, and in lands and cars and so forth, get to a certain point where they kill themselves? You know why? Because they're living life without God. And they get to that point where they say, what's the use? What's the point of it all? I have 10 cars. I have a big fine house on Pork Chop Hill. I have a beautiful woman. But I walk into my mansion and I'm empty. I'm full. My house is full, but I am empty. And that's why we hear so often these people who have it all but don't have it all end up not only killing themselves but the beautiful wife that is with them. Being thankful for the benefits, the pleasures, and the blessings of God. Part 5. And may I say to you, beloved, that you need to enjoy the life that God has given you as a Christian, because you're not going to be here much longer. Everybody is going to die, and you don't know when. And I feel sorry for people that God gave you a life to live and to enjoy and to live abundantly through Christ, and you did not enjoy it. I said it yesterday and I'll say it again. I was so happy to hear, because it's so rare. I was so happy to hear that before Lois Evans died, she enjoyed her life. She enjoyed her husband. She enjoyed her children. She enjoyed her grandchildren. She enjoyed her great-grandchildren. God blessed her tremendously. She enjoyed her family. Not only the family that she and Tony Evans started, but her brothers and sisters. And they all had a good word of testimony about her. She enjoyed trips. She enjoyed good food. She enjoyed good movies. She enjoyed great scenery, like sunset, the sunsets of Texas. And I've already told you, the sunsets of Texas will blow you away. The sunsets of Texas will help you believe in God. Just going on a walk, she enjoyed stuff like that. How about you? Some of you people are so busy for God that you can't enjoy anything. You don't enjoy anything. You don't enjoy your family. You don't enjoy your husband. You don't enjoy your wife. You don't enjoy your children. You don't even know your grandchildren. And you hardly know your children. The greatest blessings in your life will be your family. And you better enjoy them while you can, because they will be gone soon. Being thankful for the benefits, pleasures, and blessings of God. Part 5, Praying Through the Bible, 387. I invite you to stand with me for the reading of God's Holy Word. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. The Bible reads, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." This is happening in your family. This is happening in your church. This is happening in parachurch ministries. It is happening to people all around you who once named the name of Christ. And so many now are being seduced by evil spirits, giving heed to evil seducing spirits, and they are departing from the faith, and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's why you got some folk who claim to be Christians in the church who are evil as the devil. I know some of you folks don't want to hear it, but you have Judases in the church today. You have Judases in your family waiting to betray you, setting you up right now to betray you. If they betrayed Jesus, it's nothing for them to betray you. That demonic Judas spirit is still around. Look around in your own life, those of you who have been faithful to God. You have two or three Judases in your history who have stabbed you in the back. They may be your own spouse. They may be your own son, your own daughter, your own child. And they're doing it on purpose. They're being seduced by demons, seduced by spirits. They care nothing about God. They care nothing about Jesus. They care nothing about what you taught them from the Bible. They think they're getting back at you, but they're really fighting against God. They hate the gospel. They won't stay back from sin. They won't keep themselves back from sin because they think it's going to hurt you. And little do they know that you're dead and nothing can hurt you. It doesn't bother you. They're doing this against the kingdom. They are doing this against Jesus and the gospel, damning souls to hell. So pay them no mind. Let them go ahead on and do what they're going to do. It's not going to hurt you. But it will hurt themselves, hurt them. So you need to pray for them earnestly, that they will quit opposing themselves and stop acting foolishly. And the best thing you can do for them is to pray for them. I'm talking about your family members. Your greatest enemies will be they of your own household. It happens all of the time. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, wicked as the devil. No conscience, they're not bothered by their sin, yet they claim to be Christians, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. We have a whole lot of whoredom in the church today because we got folks who don't get married themselves. They find out they have sexual needs. Not only sexual needs, they have the need of somebody just being near them, somebody to hold them in the black and dark night, just to have somebody in the house. One Thanksgiving, Dr. T.D. Jakes said, you need to be thankful for the person that you argue with every now and then at the house, because one day is coming when you can't argue, because they will be dead or you will be dead. And he's right about that. Thank God for that spouse, that mate that you don't get along with, that child that gets on your last nerve, because one day they won't be there, and it will come faster than what you think. I told my wife when we first got married and the baby started coming, I told her, I said, look here now, your job is to make memories with your children. She didn't believe me. And so she didn't make memories with her children. And now her children are grown, have graduated from college. Two of the daughters were going to leave without even saying bye. And she does not benefit from her children now. They really don't want to have anything to do with her because she did not want to have anything to do with them growing up. She didn't believe me. And what happened? Life went by very fast. And it's hard to believe when you don't do what you're supposed to do with your children, how fast they grow up. And you want to try to get them back and keep them in, and it's too late. It's too late. I know some of you all don't like that, when to speak the truth about your own family. But we have too much lying going on in our churches and in our so-called Christian families today. Everything is not wonderful and great all of the time. Normally in a marriage and in a family, it doesn't get better after some 25, 30 years. Sad to say, some people don't reap the benefits of marriage and family life because they don't stay in it long enough. They don't reap the benefits and the pleasures and the enjoyment and the blessings of the married life and family life because they don't stay in it long enough. And that is a tragedy. And then once they get the fatal divorce, after about a year and a half of whoring around, then they want their husband back, they want their children back, they want the wife back. We can, let's make it work, but you're already married to some other devil. And it's all messed up, and you got stepchildren, and people don't know what to call anybody. I know you don't like it, but that's just the way it is today. And we need to tell the truth and shame the devil. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good. Enjoy yourself. Thank God for it and enjoy yourself. Thank God for sex and the benefit of sex inside marriage. Outside of marriage is going to be a hellacious experience. Hellacious in the sense that you're going to feel guilty as soon as you get through. If you're saved, if you're born again, if it doesn't bother you, you've never been born again. If you can commit fornication and commit adultery and it doesn't bother you and you just jump out of the bed laughing, talking about how good it was, you're lost and on your way to hell. You've never been born again. You don't know Jesus. And you're going to find out that when he tells you, I never knew ye. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. God's children, they may mess up, but they're going to confess up like David. And they're going to repent of that mess. And in the words of another preacher, I bet you I won't do that again. Whatever it is. For sure. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm talking about born again ones. I'm not the so-called Christians. It's a joke. Religious folk, church men, church women, many of them, they're just a joke. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus. I'm sorry to tell you that. I know you don't like it. You may be seated. It's one of those days. You may be seated. Thank you. I was talking with one of my doctors. I took my baby daughter to the eye doctor yesterday. He happens to be a Christian. Used to be a Methodist. And I said, well, what do you think about the Methodists splitting over the subject of homosexuality and homosexual marriage? He said, I'm not shocked. Most of those people have never been born again. Half of them have never been saved. And some of the saved people are going to be shocked that they're one of the churches that believe that foolishness. He said, it needs to split. And I will say to you right from the outset, knowing that I'm going to lose some folk, that if you believe that it's okay in God's sight for a man to be with a man or a woman to be with a woman, then you're lost and on your way to hell. That includes pastors all across Dallas, Texas, all across the country. You're lost and on your way to hell. You're going to hear it from me. You don't know God. And if you're doing it, you don't know God. You say, I'll tell you what, I bet you I'll never listen to you again. That's fine, I got you today. You need to repent and get your heart right with God. I've never been in this for the money. I've been preaching for 40 years, man. And I think I'll keep on preaching with or without your support. Or whether you come or not come. Forbidding to marry. Marriage is a beautiful thing, by the way. Marriage is a beautiful thing. I recommend it. I'd rather have a bad marriage than not be married. Because I didn't have the gift of celibacy. And you don't either. And if you're black, you know you don't. To use the words of the midwives when the Pharaoh told them to kill the boys. He said, we be a lively bunch. By the time we get there, the baby's already born. We be a lively bunch. Most of you, 99.9% of you, don't have the gift of celibacy. You can't do that. So you need to marry. You need to marry so that you will not burn in your lust And some of you today are burning in your lust looking at pornography, trying to satisfy your wicked lust through pornography. And that's not what God has told you to do. Some of you are buying objects to use to satisfy, you think, yourself. It doesn't work that way. You need a woman. You need a man. You don't need a robot. You don't need a tool. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Not only by prayer, but by the word of God. God said so. God said it's good. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Holy Father God, as you know, we're weak today, but we know that you're strong. We thank you for the great day that you gave us on yesterday. And Lord, you brought us through successfully, and you do it every day. And we thank you for that. Lord, take us through today as well. Not only in this meeting, but in the meeting tonight. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us. And where we have sinned in your sight in any way, shape, form, or fashion, in word, thought, or deed, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins. But not only forgive us, Lord, help us to repent of our sins and to turn from our evil ways. For those who have and those who are grieving and quenching your Holy Spirit, help them to stop it with bad attitudes, with pharaohistic pride, with pride, with stubbornness, with rebelliousness, not doing certain things that they know they should do, doing things that they should not do. These who name the name of Christ, crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us all. Fill us all with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Grant me fresh unction and anointing from on high. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Ghost would move upon the hearts of those who are lost and save them before it is too late, before they die and drop off into hell, before the rapture takes place. Open blinded eyes and unstop deaf ears. And Lord, so many of us who name the name of Christ are not living right, and we all know it. Help us to confess our sins and to repent and turn from our evil ways. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, John Bunyan said, a sensible thanksgiving for mercies received is a mighty prayer in the Spirit of God. It prevails with him unspeakably. Just a simple thank you to God. Are you thankful for the benefits and the pleasures and the blessings of life? Have you ever had a meal with some meat in it that you enjoyed it so much you thank God before it, and you thank God while you was eating it, and you thank God afterwards? There was a time when women used to throw down like that. everybody thanked God, and then when they took their first bite, they spoke in tongues, talking about, mama, you sure put your foot in it. And the mothers and grandmothers used to just smile and beam. Because see, back in those days, the mothers and the grandmothers, they used to be very pleased when they saw their husband and their boys eating for real. They fed everybody. They fed the daughters too. But they loved to see the men eat and to hear all of the compliments. And they stood right there at the counter. They never sat down. The mothers, the real mothers, they never sat down at the table, and not in the black community. They never sat down at the table with you. They sacrificed their time and their effort just to see you eat. I'm talking about really get down and into the collard greens and to the ham hocks and really dig down deep into the cornbread and the butter. I mean, when you're eating like this, you're just spooning it in, you're just shoveling like you got a shovel in your hand. They love to see it because they knew that you just love it. You could hardly get a word out. And then don't put any hot sauce on it, or that green pepper sauce. And when they see that, now they got a whole pot full left, a whole pot more. Because if it's good, they know that you're going to want more. There was a time when women used to cook like that. We don't have too many who cook like that now. They go by Walmart and get a lasagna already made by only God knows who. We don't know what's in it. And they'll throw that bad boy in a microwave and serve it to you like they did something and ain't done nothing. I had to preach out in San Francisco. This was a suburb of San Francisco. I did preach in a black church in San Francisco. And whereas one evangelist who flew out of San Francisco after preaching and seeing all of the people doing their evil on the streets, he got on the plane and told somebody, I don't even want to use Bengay anymore. But anyway, that's another story. But I went to I preached in a white church out in San Francisco, but it was in the suburbs. And the wife, bless her heart, she thought she was doing something by serving her husband and her children and me some hot dogs and some pork and beans almost every day. She never really cooked. And I back in those days, you would have to stay with the people sometime. And the husband kept telling me he was having serious stomach problems. I said, I know why. You're eating hot dogs and pork and beans every day. And I refused to do it. So I bolted out of the house. I went walking. The pastor said, where you going, preacher? I said, I'm going to find me some food to eat. This is a true story. I couldn't take no more hot dogs and pork and beans on a cold, and sometimes cold on a paper plate. Are you kidding me? I'm not a child. And so I walked out. I bolted out of there. The preacher said, preacher, where you going? His name is in my mind right now. Some of you would know him. He graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary. And he helped me when I got to Dallas. Just gave me his credit card. Said, do what you got to do. I said, all right. Good brother. Loved me. I believe he loved me more than I loved him. as a brother in Christ. But I bolted out of there. I just stepped on out. I didn't have my car with me. I flew out there. And I went hunting for a restaurant. And I found myself a Chinese food restaurant. Back in those days, I could eat Chinese food. I loved it. I was raised on it by my mother and by my father. New York style Chinese food. The best in the world. And I just had myself a time. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, after one of the terrible battles of the Civil War, a dying Confederate soldier asked to see the chaplain. When the chaplain arrived, he supposed the young man would wish him to ask God for his recovery. But it was very different. First, the soldier asked him to cut off a lock of his hair for his mother. And then he asked him to kneel down and thank God. "What for?" asked the surprised chaplain. "For giving me such a mother." He loved his mother, who loved him. "Thank God that I am a Christian, and thank God for giving me grace to die with. And thank God for the home he has promised me over there in heaven land." And so the chaplain knelt down by the dying man and in his prayer, he had not a single petition to offer, but only praise and gratitude. Now, ladies and gentlemen, by way of laying the foundation and background knowledge and understanding of this deep passage, because I want you to know what the Bible says, and by way of further introduction, Dr. Walford and Dr. Zuck, editors of what they call the BKC, said, contrary to the teaching of the errorist, everything God created is good. Here Paul echoed God's own verdict, whereas the false teachers and the false preachers were intent on forbidding and abstaining. When God said it is good, just it is sanctified with my word and with prayer. See, for those of you who don't know why you say grace, that's why you say it. You ask God to bless it. You better ask God to bless everything. Because you can eat a salad and die today, especially when you're dealing with romaine lettuce. You better pray. You better pray and ask God to bless it. Because you can eat vegetables and die. You can eat an apple and an orange and die. Paul said that nothing is to be rejected. Nothing. That is, that God created. Now, pork does not normally work for me. Weird things happen when I eat pork. Now, you know, if it's a high quality pork, that's a different ball game. My daughters, Danny and Danita, when they came down for Thanksgiving, we had beef, we had turkey. They brought the vegetables. But my daughter, Danny, said, "I want to get a ham." So she and I went to the store and with my daughter, Danita, and she bought a very expensive ham, already sliced. I had some of that ham. I know I knew I was doing wrong, but I had some. But you know what? It was a high quality ham. And I didn't have some of the problems. And plus, I prayed very hard over it as well. And I didn't have some of the problems. But you got to be, you have to be careful with pork. But if you pray over it, understanding that the Word of God has sanctified it and everything, and you pray over it, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Even that. But we know also that in the Old Testament, we're not supposed to eat that. Okay, we're not Jews, though, but, you know, we need to follow what God told the Jews. So you don't need to be pigging out, pun not intended, on the pig. You know that. Everybody knows that. And if you are of a certain age, you better leave it alone. If you got certain diseases, illnesses, you better leave it alone. If you're black, you better leave it alone. Now, I had a preacher friend when we were single, in our single days. He had already been married, and God called him to preach, and he was the life of the party kind of a person, and God called him to preach, and his wife said, no, I can't go down the road that road with you, so she divorced him. And so while I was in Bible college and everything, he came up to where I was, and we both got saved on the same day, and we got baptized on the same day, and we didn't know each other. We were spiritual twins. The favorite meal that he loved the most. Now, he's dead and in heaven now. He checked out, I believe, much earlier because... But his favorite meal, buddy, was some fried pork chops. And, buddy, he could flat do it. His mother taught him how to do it. And when he bought a pack of pork chops, buddy, we ate. I mean, we flat just ate, man. And I'm tell you what, there's nothing like a fried pork chop. Y'all know, you know I'm right about it. But that'll kill you. But anyway, man can abuse what God has created. Isn't that right? Man can abuse what God has created, and we oftentimes do. For example, as adultery is an abuse of the marital sexual relationship. What is it that is in certain people when they get off on having sex with somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband? That's wicked as hell, isn't it? Or defiling some young woman who has never been married before her husband can have her. I heard about a so-called preacher who would make sure he would have sex with the women before he married them to their husband. You know, that's wicked as hell. And gluttony, one of my sins, I have two temptations. One is fat women. Fine women, that's my temptation. Thank God it's not a sin anymore. But my other temptation is gluttony, food. I enjoy food very much. And that has been a sin in recent years. By the grace of God, since I preached nearly 100 messages on the sin of gluttony, God has changed my mindset, and it's not a sin anymore, but it is a temptation. It is a temptation. I love a great meal with some butter. For real. Gluttony is an abuse of normal of a normal appetite. We can't have just one Big Mac, which is enough. in some cases too much, we want two Big Macs. Not because we need it, but because we're greedy. We want to supersize everything. Such abuses should certainly be rejected. I said, such abuses should certainly be rejected. But God's creations themselves are all good and should be received with thanksgiving. In the matter of sex, which we touched on, you need to just have sex with your spouse. She's enough and he's enough. In the end, it's going to pretty much be the same, especially for the man. Only women know what's going on with them. Love the one you're with. Well, they ain't all that anymore like they used to be. Well, you ain't all that either, baby. Okay, so roll with it. Well, she is not as fine as she used to be, so I'm not that interested as I used to be. She's kind of gotten chubby or too skinny, or everything has dropped and become flat and everything else. You know, I just don't, I just can't get excited anymore. Well, you have grown fat too, Mr. Blob, Michelin Tire. Okay, so chill out on all of that and roll with it. Get your blessing, get your benefit, enjoy it. You may not need it no more than once a week or twice a week at your age, 59 years old, 60, 62, but get it, because God wants you to get it. He wants you to enjoy the benefits, the pleasures, and the blessings of life. Until you check out of here, enjoy yourself with the spouse that God has blessed you with. Some of you know you should have never been blessed to get married, because you're so wicked and evil. You need to thank God He put you in a marriage because you needed to be married. You was a wild animal. God had to tame you, and marriage will tame your behind. Oh, yes, it will. It'll calm you down in a hurry. One of the radio announcers and popular radio personalities in Dallas, Texas, he happens to be a Christian. He's a crazy Christian, but he happens to be a Christian. He's a white guy. And he says some crazy things. But one thing is true. He said marriage is designed to break you, make you, and to mold you to be what God would have you to be. Marriage will humble you down. Marriage will help you to stop being selfish. One of the best things that will ever happen to you is to be put in a marriage by God and to have a family. Oh, yes. Enjoy it. Don't resent it. Don't be mad about it. Enjoy it, man. Enjoy it. It's a blessing from God. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Nothing. God's creations themselves, God's benefits and pleasures and blessings themselves, are all good and should be received with thanksgiving. That's right. That's right. Yes, you say, preacher, have you ever thanked God for the benefit of sex? Yes, I have. When the children were younger, I had code words for it. I've thanked God for great meals. And yes, I have thanked God for a glass of wine with the meal. You say, preacher, I can't believe you said that. I said it. My Savior drunk wine. And I've enjoyed that. Yes, I have. Do you enjoy the benefits and the pleasures and blessings of life? Or you're serving God so hard that you can't enjoy what he gave you to enjoy? I told you before, and I'll say it again. I don't know if God's going to ask you this or not. I don't know. But if I was God, I would ask you, did you enjoy the life I gave you? You know, I created you from nothing. Did you enjoy the benefits and pleasures and blessings of life? Whether you're going to heaven or hell, did you enjoy them? But especially the saints. Did you enjoy the benefits, pleasures, and blessings that I have blessed you with? All God's creations themselves are all good and should be received with thanksgiving, not with taboos. All the seemingly ordinary things of life can then become extraordinary as they are consecrated by the Word of God and prayer. In light of the Holy Scriptures, a Christian recognizes God's good hand behind the things provided. If you're saved and born again, you thank God for everything. Everything. You thank God for a salad with some turkey and cheese on top. You thank God for a steak, even though you don't eat that every day. You thank God for prime rib that you have on Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas. You thank God for that turkey. Do you have a family that can eat a whole turkey in one day? I do. What? Leftovers, my foot. In the light of the Scriptures, a Christian recognizes God's good hand behind the things provided and offers thanksgiving to the Lord. In this way, the ordinary things so easily taken for granted, some of which are forbidden by the heiress, become sanctified as occasions for worship and praise and thanksgiving. That's one of the reasons why I thank God that we live in a country that has a day set aside for Thanksgiving. God has blessed this country, I believe, because of that. From his warning of the apostasy to come, Paul turned to Timothy and exhorted him to pass along these same warnings to others in the church. One of the works of a good minister of Christ Jesus is that he is a faithful conduit of the truth to other Christians. To do this, however, Timothy first had to keep himself nourished by A, the objective truth or truths of the faith, which, as Jude 3 puts it, were once for all delivered to the saints. And B, the truths of the good teaching that you have followed. This latter phrase probably refers to Paul's own instructions to his young disciple, which Timothy had faithfully carried out. How about it, dear Christian friend? Have you gone too far trying to be spiritual, listening to false preachers? Or have you enjoyed the benefits and the blessings and the pleasures that God has provided you? Are you enjoying the abundant life that God wants you to enjoy? While you're here right now, that'll be carried over into heaven. And you will experience the abundant life on steroids, if you will, in heaven. But God wants you to enjoy the life He's giving you right now. And be thankful. Because see, that's the end of it. When you enjoy the benefits, pleasures, and blessings of life, praises go up. Thanksgiving goes up. I believe that God hears, if it's prayed in sincerity, every prayer over food. You know, some of us, we say it very fast when we have that plate in front of us, because some of us think that something's going to happen to the food. It might get too cold, so we pray very fast. Some act like you're ashamed to pray in public when God has blessed you with the money to buy a lunch. And you pray, Lord, thank you for the food, bless me. Amen. You're ashamed. You ought to just say it boldly. And I hate it when people turn around and say, that is so good that you're praying to God. And very few people do that today, thanking God for their food. Well, just, I want to say, make sure you do it. But anyway, how about it, dear Christian friend? Let's have a word of prayer. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word that teaches us to be balanced in our lives, to enjoy what you bless us with, and not to abuse it, not to overdo it, but not to underdo it either. And so, Lord, help us to live balanced Christian lives. So many people struggle with this. We can live a holy life by your grace. You want us to live a holy life by your grace. And at the same time, enjoy and have a happy life. A holy and happy life. They go together. We ought to be joyful and cheerful and jovial. And just so grateful and thankful for every little blessing. For your glory, praise, and honor, and we ought to give you the thanks and the praise. Help us to do it. Help us to be thankful for the good things and what some people might consider the bad things, but to be dead to ourselves and filled with your joy and peace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you are with us today, and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand with me that you are a sinner, just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws. You have broken God's Ten Commandments. We all have. From the Pope on down, from the Dalai Lama on down, from Joel Osteen on down, all of us have failed God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There's a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of our sin. That's why your beautiful body will one day become decayed, decrepit, and you will drop dead on this earth. Just like you were born on this earth, you will drop dead. You will be walking down the street one day and drop dead. You will go to sleep and never wake up. As two people today in Dallas were driving down the street, they got into an accident and they're dead. We all are going to die because of sin. The body goes to a grave, it must, of some kind, either a watery grave or in the ground. The soul goes to heaven or hell. If you have already trusted Christ, believed on Christ as Savior, you'll go to your soul, you, the real you. This body is not me. The only real thing you see of me is you hear this voice, which comes from my spirit and soul. That will go to hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you're on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Pardon me. Hell is a very real place. Heaven is a very real place. Earth is a very real place. This is all real, people. May God help your unbelief and your doubt. Believe what Jesus Christ said. You studied him in college. You know that he's a historical figure. You know he lived. The whole world knows about Jesus. You know how he healed people and worked miracles and raised folk from the dead, walked on the water. Well, believe everything he said about hell and heaven. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any of the prophets in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. And the reason why is because he came and died to give up his life to save your soul from hell. So this is a very serious matter to him. Because he wants you to be in heaven with him. God wants you to be in heaven with him. So you don't have to go to hell. If you go to hell, you will be going there because you chose to go there, not because God did. For you can go to heaven, for Jesus Christ said in John 3:16. See, hell is bad news, but heaven is good news. And I have some good news for you. You can go to heaven because of this verse that Jesus said so long ago in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That includes you. If you're in this world, God loves you, no matter what you have done. That he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shalt be saved. Do it right now. You can do it right now. You can believe on Christ anywhere. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to be in a chapel. You don't have to be in a sanctuary. You don't have to be in front of a preacher or a pastor or a priest. It takes too long to do all that. You can trust in Christ right now, the high priest. You can bow your head and pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. And he'll save your soul. Romans 10:9-13 is God's promise, guarantee. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. And if you want to be saved today, I'll be more than happy to lead you in prayer. Call the sinner's prayer. Just repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart on Jesus Christ. Not church membership on Jesus Christ. Not your baptismal certificate on Jesus Christ. Not the good works you've done. Nothing like that. Not the money you gave. Simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one and the only somebody who can save you. So trust in him. And pray with me the sinner's prayer. Holy Father God, repeat after me phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And I admit that I have sinned against you. For I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have taken your holy name in vain. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I have lusted and coveted after people and things. I have lied before. I have stolen things before. Now, Lord, that is just five of your commandments that I have broken, but I have broken many more. For Jesus Christ's sake, your holy Son, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life, to turn from my old evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted in Jesus Christ, or you just believed in your heart the best way you knew how on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, not upon my words, not upon your words, or anybody else's words, but God's Word found in the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and praying to him and asking him to save you, calling upon him for salvation. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good is my prayer.